You guys having fun this Christmas season? Is this an opportunity to catch your breath and, from all the busyness and shopping and carrying on and just kind of come away for a moment? Let me ask you this. For you personally, whoever you are, what's the most enjoyable part of giving gifts at Christmas? What's specifically about that? I mean, it can be kind of stressful too, you know, wondering what to get and how much to pay and who to get for and on and on and on. But what's the most enjoyable part of giving gifts at Christmas for you? The joy you see on somebody else's face. Thank you, John. Definitely that. Isn't it cool to give it to them in person so you can see that joy on their face? Yeah. The thanks you get. Doesn't that bless you? Anybody else? Hey, that's my part. I've been looking at my notes. Who else? Anybody else? Any particular part that you find enjoyable or any time you found enjoyable? Lisa? Oh my goodness. The surprise of the unexpected. That's cool, isn't it? Especially kids, man. They just get all excited. Hooping and hollering, running around. Anybody else? Mary?
Being in the card business.
Being in the card business. All
right. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. That's awesome. Finding that perfect card, especially like you said, for those who may be listening later who couldn't hear what you said, you know, when they've looked everywhere and they haven't found it and suddenly, you know, it's there and it's the one that just leaps off the rack to them. It's that card. You know, presents are like that. Some people are just anointed in present shopping. Serious, man. I've heard people talk about gifts that they were going to give to their relatives, and when I heard it, I was like, "Oh, that is so cool." Have you ever heard that? You know, it was like, "Wow, I wish I'd have thought of that." Of course, I don't know them, so you know. I love that. Anybody else? Chris.
I like when receiving a gift, the joy on the giver. Like I remember.
Joy of the giver, man, on their face, man. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? The giver has a lot of joy as well, as we were saying. That's just incredible. I saw some other hands. Joe.
When you're able to give something to someone,
yeah, something to give them something they couldn't obtain for themselves, man. Isn't it awesome giving gifts to people? Oh, Gene. Yes. Giving to help people who can't give back. Just freely given to them. Especially children. Praise God. I love it, man. Isn't it fun? Thrilling. Sense of anticipation and expectancy that you're going to get that kind of reaction and just waiting to see that. I know sometimes, you know, people will buy a gift, they can't even wait till Christmas to give it. And they're like, I got to wait 2 weeks to give this to them. I want to see their face, man. He does. Yeah, Gus does that.
I got to give it to you now. I can't wait.
I can wait.
No, I can't wait.
Because it's fun. It's thrilling. There is a joy to it. Praise God. And as John and Jesus both said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? Let me ask you this. Does God enjoy giving gifts to His children? Yeah. Do you think He gets that same thrill that we get? more. Praise God. Man, what's it like when God is thrilled about something? Man, I just get goosebumps thinking about it, man. Wow. We talk about joy. God's joy must just be unimaginable. He loves giving gifts to His children. The greatest gift He's given us is the gospel, our free gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. What an amazing gift. What a priceless gift. The price that was paid for that, the very blood of His Son. And yet, He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him in bringing many sons to Christ. Man, joy. God loves giving us that. It's a free gift to those who repent and receive it by what? By faith. Amen. But He also gives other kinds of spiritual gifts to His children too. Anybody know what kind of spiritual gifts I'm talking about? Peace. Joy. Long-suffering, fruits of the Spirit. Yeah, I mean, that is, in a sense, a gift. It's an outflow of the gift of the Holy Spirit. But there's also spiritual gifts that are spiritual empowered abilities. And there's several lists in the Bible of those kinds of things. What are some of them? Mercy, teaching, healing, serving, yes. Any more? Faith. Come on, you Bible scholars, let me have them, man. Leadership. Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. Missy. Forgiveness. Amen. Healing. Yes. Speaking in tongues. Encouragement. Prophecy. Interpretation of tongues. Whole list of these things, man. Spiritual gifts that God gives to His children. Some are more supernatural than others, obviously. But wherever those gifts abound, wherever the Holy Spirit is empowering those gifts, there is a grace, a heavenly, divine grace operating in and through and upon the person who was working in that gift. It could be something supernatural, like a gift of miracles or healing or speaking in tongues. It could be simply a gift of mercy, but there is a heavenly grace that just empowers that person to do things that are profound for other people through the power of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts that God gives. God loves to give His children spiritual gifts, doesn't He? Amen. He gets the same thrill as we do. Now, let me ask you another question. Can Christians give spiritual gifts to other Christians? Now, I'm not talking, let me just clarify, I'm not talking about a Michael W. Smith CD or, you know, Barlow Girl t-shirt or water bottle or, you know, tabletop snowman that sings Psalms and Proverbs when he squeezes carrot nose. I'm talking about the spiritual gifts we were just mentioning a moment ago. Tongues, prophecy, healing, miracles, mercy, administration, those types of things. Can Christians give spiritual gifts to other Christians? We know they can minister them to other Christians. Can they impart or give spiritual gifts to other Christians? Gene? Gene would say yes. How many would agree with Gene? Ups the stakes a little bit, okay? Yeah. Yeah, what Gene said, yeah. Sign me up with her. Don't steal my thunder, girl. Come on. That's right. I got the pulpit here. It was meant to be a rhetorical question anyway, for you to think about. Praise God. I would submit to you, as Gene had mentioned, yes, absolutely. Christians can, in fact, give spiritual gifts to other Christians. Did you realize that? That you can impart and give spiritual gifts to each other. That is a mind-blowing concept. That's what I want to talk about today. They not only can do that, Scripture says it's a very desirable thing to do. It's a good thing to do. It's an exciting thing to do. It's a powerful thing to do. We ought to be excited about doing that. Aren't you guys? I bet you guys just can't wait to see where I'm going with this thing. Yeah. All right, let's show a little sign of faith here. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. We're going to dive right in with both hands and feet. A little background about this passage. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome. At the time that he wrote this letter, he had never been there. He's traveling around somewhere near Corinth and stuff, and he wants to go to Rome, baby. I mean, his heart is set on getting to Rome. He's got to go through Jerusalem first. He's going to take a trip to Spain, but he's hoping in that process he's going to get to Rome because it is, in fact, the capital of the most powerful empire in the world. So if he can preach the gospel in Rome, he has a chance to have incredible influence on the gospel going out into all the corners of the earth. And so he's just hungering to go there. Now, eventually he would arrive there, not quite the way he planned. He would be in chains when he got there. He would be escorted by the Roman army when he got there. He would have started a riot in Jerusalem where he almost got killed in order to get in those chains and have the protection of the Roman army. So it wasn't quite the way he envisioned it, but he would, in fact, eventually get there. History tells us beyond the book of Acts that he eventually got to testify to the gospel to Emperor Nero, who set him free from his imprisonment. He went out and he continued his ministry. Years later in his life, he got arrested a second time, imprisoned in Rome, and they cut off his head. But at that first time in Rome, he actually got to testify not only, as we mentioned, to governors and kings, but even to the emperor himself. So God had great plans. And at this point that he wrote this letter, however, he was still a free man. He still just really wanted to go to Rome, and he was writing to them about this, and this is what he said to them. Romans 1, starting at verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. At that point, there was, in fact, a church at Rome. There were believers, Christians in Rome. It hadn't been fully developed out there. The church was still in its infancy, but there were believers, possibly people who had been in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost and then returned to Rome afterwards. Somehow the gospel had made its way there, and there was a fledgling church in Rome. Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. Praise God. Paul knew that the church in Rome had mind-blowing potential to influence the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He also knew that for that very same reason, they would be right in the crosshairs of the enemy. If God has a place established for tremendous potential, you better believe the enemy is going to try to come against that and stop it. And they needed so much more than just the natural abilities of a few well-meaning men if they were going to do something great and marvelous for the kingdom of God. They were going up again. They were right in the devil's backyard. They were going to need spiritual weapons to wage a spiritual warfare. It takes more than well-meaning men with their natural abilities and talents to proclaim the kingdom of God and see it established in the earth. It takes spiritual weapons to conduct spiritual warfare, especially in the heart of the Roman Empire, right there in the capital of Rome. Now, when you look at this passage, how badly did Paul want to get to Rome? Real bad. Real bad. He said, I long to see you. The Amplified Bible says he yearned to see them. He probably thought about it constantly. He probably prayed. It says he prays constantly for them. I'm sure all the time he was saying, God, bless my brothers in Rome and somehow open the door that I can go there and be there face to face. Right, John? right? You want to see their face, man. You want to send it UPS. Sometimes you got to. But Paul didn't want to send the gospel by messengers for the rest of his life. He wanted to be there in person, face to face. He longed for it. He prayed about it incessantly, over and over, that God would make a way for him to go. And the reason that he hungered so desperately to get there, we're told, is so that he could impart. Everybody say impart.
Impart.
Amen. So that he could impart a spiritual gift to them. Praise God. Now, and again, we're not talking about a Michael W. Smith CD. Right? They didn't have Michael W. Smith in those days. They probably had some guy named, I don't know, what's a good Greek name? Victus, you know. It's not what he wanted. He wanted to impart a spiritual gift to them. Now, let me ask you this. Why did he need to see them to do that? Why did he have to be there to do that? I mean, he says he prayed for them constantly. Why didn't he just, when he was praying for them, one of those million times he was praying for them, why didn't he just say, hey, God, give them a spiritual gift. They're there. You're up there. Lay it on them. And I'll just sit here in Corinth and be happy. Why did he have to be there to impart a spiritual gift to them? No email or Facebook. The dude's laptop was fried, man. It was toast. He just couldn't. Thank you, Dave. He didn't have an application for that. Yeah. He couldn't get a signal on his cell phone there in Corinth, man. The power was horrible.